Welcome to the Woodridge Baptist Church podcast. For more information about what's happening in the life of our church, visit our website at www.woodridge.org. Enjoy the podcast.
We continue our series as we look into the church and what it means to be a part of a church. Today, we're going to be talking about something that I'll admit, in preparation for this, thematically was a little bit more difficult for me than some of the other things that we've talked about. And what that means is that I'm a lot like you, that there are some things that are just more natural for me, that kind of flow more naturally out of me, and then there are other things that I'm going to wrestle with a little bit more. We're all kind of in the same boat. There is an old quote that says, to err is human, and to forgive is divine. You've probably heard that before. And as we look in Colossians chapter 3, and there are going to be other verses that we're going to be looking at today, the theme that we're going to be unpacking this morning is what it means to actually forgive each other. Now, I'll be the first to say, forgiveness is one of those things that we typically have to work at. We're not naturally inclined to forgive. What we're naturally inclined to do is we want people to get their comeuppance, if you want to talk about an old saying, right? We want to see people get theirs. And then we feel like the balance and the order of the force has been restored. That's typically the way that we work. So as I was looking at this and started to comb through Scripture, I thought, well, how many passages of Scripture are there about forgiveness? And this is going to totally blow your mind. There's a lot. There's a lot. I'm just going to give you three right off the top. In Colossians 3:13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 37, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Now, I've only given you three, but I could certainly give you more. But are you seeing a theme through any of these verses here? There's a common thread, both from the beginning to the middle to the end of the text, is that when a person comes to a church, one of the things that they should find that is embodied and lived out by the people in the church is that the people of Christ should be known for the way that we forgive one another. That's what it should be known for. It should be visible to people that are not a part of the faith that this is what it means to be a part of the faith, that we forgive other people in like manner to the way that God has forgiven us. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it begins by saying, bear with each other and forgive. Bearing and forgiving are not the same thing. Now, what this means is that for some of the bearing that you have with people is because they have personality quirks that are just absolutely flat annoying to you. Now, you don't have to be naming anybody right now, right? But you know what I'm talking about. If my girls were probably to say, what is something about me that absolutely annoys them and that they have to bear with is that I'm the guy, I'm the one in the house mainly that thinks that everything has a place. Everything has a place. The floor isn't the place, right? It's just not. That when you do the dishes, you know what? They got to go back up, right? I'm that guy. They would like to say that I'm a little bit OCD about it. Whereas I say, no, I'm minimally observant about it, right? So we have to bear with each other. Those are personality quirks, and I've got mine. Did you know what? You have yours, and people have to bear with some of the things that go with your personality. You bear with it, which means you have to put up with it. It's not that your personality is a sin or your personality type is a sin, but there's still aspects of you that are a little bit hard to deal with when it comes to other people. There you go. Now, here's the funny thing. I'm only on the front end of this, and I'm looking around at y'all right now. And people are looking at each other right now, and we've only just begun bearing with each other. And you could probably also look at yourself and say, in a moment of honesty, there's some things that go with my personality that, you know what? Hey, thank you for bearing with me, because this is a part of me that's a little bit difficult. It's not sin. It's a little bit of a part of me that is difficult. And thank you for bearing with me. I see some people over here right now saying that right now. And so this has been a good day. The second part is this, forgive one another. Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So what does it actually mean to forgive somebody? What it really means is that you are releasing a person from a debt or an obligation that they have incurred because of something that they have done. You are releasing them from it. You are freeing them from it. It does not mean that you are condoning what they did. It does not mean that you are denying what they have done. In fact, to actually forgive someone means that you have to admit that a wrong has actually occurred, that they have missed the mark, or that you have missed the mark when somebody is talking to you about something that you have said or something that you have done. It's not condoning it, it's recognizing it, but it's also releasing from a debt or an obligation because of what they've done. Now, each one of us in this room, and for people that are watching online, each of us have been on both sides of this issue. Every one of us. We have all needed to forgive someone, as well as that we have needed forgiveness from someone. Isn't that true? Somebody, I guarantee you, somebody has wronged you at some point in your life. Guarantee it. Guarantee it this morning, you have wronged somebody at some point in your life. Guarantee it. And so we're all on, when you think about it, we're all on both sides of this topic. And so when it comes to forgiveness, it's not granted. Like when you grant forgiveness to someone, it's not because a person deserves to be forgiven. It doesn't work like that. No one, when you think about it, is forgiven because they deserve it. Forgiveness instead is a deliberate act on your part of love and mercy and grace. That's what it is. So we forgive others as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. Well, how did he do that? He did it as an act, a choice of love and mercy and grace. How do I do it when somebody wrongs me? As a choice of love and mercy and grace. Not because they came up to me and said, hey, you know what? You actually owe me this one. It's supposed to flow out of me because I have a new identity in Jesus Christ. I'm to love other people and forgive them as he has forgiven me. Now, some of us, let's be honest, some of us don't want to forgive people. Is that fair? We don't want to. I've been giving some thought as to why, but some of us don't want to forgive because, I think, we want to hold on to something, or we want to hold something over somebody so that we can continue to control them because of a mistake that they made. We like the power that it brings us. When somebody wrongs us, and we can always bring this up, yeah, but you remember the time when you, and then you fill in the blank, it gives you control over them, because what are they gonna do? Sit there and say, I don't remember doing that, right? You have the upper hand, you have control. Or another reason that we don't wanna forgive is because we ourselves are actually caught in the trap of having an unforgiving spirit. We had this example that was given last week of those that are caught. And it doesn't mean, you know, caught in sin, meaning literally just caught, aha, gotcha. But it's caught like an animal in a trap or like a bird in a cage. And some of us are caught in a place where we don't have a forgiving spirit. And in that sense, what we model for other people is the exact opposite of what God in Christ Jesus has modeled and given to you. The exact opposite. So to be clear, what we have to know is that forgiving, a deliberate act of love and mercy and grace that we extend to somebody that has failed us, is not the same thing as reconciling with that person. Those are different. When we talk about reconciliation or bridging a relationship with a person only happens when forgiveness has been requested. Forgiveness is the first step. So if you're sitting out there knowing that you have wronged somebody, but you don't want to take the first step, which is recognizing the wrong that you've done against somebody, reconciliation is not going to happen. Forgiveness is something that can happen from an individual to another person, even if they don't ask for it. You could wrong me and I could forgive you, and you never come up and say, I've wronged you. I could still forgive you, but you know what's going to be lacking? Is reconciliation between me and you. Because that's something that happens between us. It all begins with the recognition, reconciliation always begins with the recognition and confession of a wrong that has been done. And so when an offender confesses their wrong, they request forgiveness, the offended person could still say something like this, I forgive you. I forgive you. But it's going to take some time to regain trust and restore our relationship. That's reconciliation. The forgiveness can happen in a moment. The process of reconciliation might take a little bit of time. Steve Cornell was writing about this, and he gave some thoughts that I think are worth keeping this morning. There's some factors that affect the timing of reconciliation in a relationship. Let me give you a few of those things. Here's one, the attitude of the offender. You know what I'm talking about. When you have a person that is absolutely dismissive, they punt for the mistakes that they've made, you factor that in with the way that you view them and the wrongs that they've done. The attitude of the person really matters. On the flip side, you can also see the difference. When somebody comes to you, and it's not because they're caught, they go, oh man, I got caught. All right. What are you really sorrowful for? I'm really sorrowful that I got caught. All right. That's not the right spirit. But when you see a person that is coming and you see that there's a brokenness in their heart because they've hurt you, you see it. It's there. They feel it. The wrong that they've done, that attitude matters as well, doesn't it? Because you know that they're coming to you, not because they feel like you owe them the forgiveness, but because they're owning their part of what brought the brokenness to begin with. So I want to make that right. The attitude makes a huge difference. A second factor that will affect the timing of forgiveness and reconciliation is the depth of the betrayal or the violation. The depth of it. I mean, let's don't kid ourselves. If your kid is driving the car and they come home and they say, okay, so when I was out, now you know that's not going to go well, right? Like when they start that way, where this is going isn't good. So when I was out, I actually nicked the side of the car, and you go out and you look and you see there's a little paint on the paint, right? And you go, all right, hold on. And you look at it and you lick your thumb because it's, you know, that's what you do as a mechanic. You lick your thumb. And you rub and the paint comes off, right? You sit there and you go, all right, look, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. This is not saying it's not a deal, it's a deal. But it's not that big of a deal. That's different than when your kid comes home and says, okay, I'm all right, because that's always what's most important. I'm all right, but the whole front end of the car just isn't there anymore. All right? None of you are going to sit there and say, yeah, those, we're comparing like and like right now. You're not comparing like and like. What's the depth of the violation? What's the depth of the betrayal? For some of you, you've been betrayed by a person that, frankly, you didn't have that deep and abiding of a relationship with. And you sit there and you go, the effect on me isn't the same if it was your husband or your wife or your best friend. The depth of the betrayal, you get it? Not all relationships are equal. And it impacts the timing of reconciliation because, well, the hurt went deeper. Third thing that we're typically looking for is, are they continually doing it over again? Same old thing. And then they come back and they say, I'm sorry. And then they go back and they do the same old thing. And then they come back to you and they say, I'm sorry. And then they do it again and they come back. After a while, what you're looking for is, I don't want you coming back and saying, I'm sorry anymore. I want you to quit. I want you to repent, which literally means to turn and go the other way. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for you to say, I'm sorry, and then to come back and say, by the way, relationship's broken again because I'm doing the same old stuff. You're looking in that case for more and for the pattern of sin and what holds us in it to stop. Now, on this side of it, it's tough. On the receiving end of it, it's tough. And Jesus gives us this word in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. It says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Okay, now that's a tough one, right? I mean, that is a tough one. Because for some, and I'll unpack what this means, because for some, you're already thinking of a relationship where you owe something here. Namely, what it is that you're supposed to be giving here is, in Christ, you're supposed to be forgiving the person that has wronged you, and you know that you haven't. And you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, I mean, I'm bound for the bad place. Well, I want you to think about it, because that's not really what Jesus is saying. He doesn't teach that your eternal destiny is based on you forgiving other people. However, it does teach that our relationship with God will be damaged if we refuse to pardon those that have offended us. Here's a way of looking at it. If there are those we have not forgiven, when we ourselves are praying for it, you're asking God for it. Forgive me. forgive me. If there are those that we have not forgiven, when we are asking and praying for forgiveness, then practically speaking, we are asking God not to restore a right relationship with us after we sin. Practically speaking. Because to emphasize the importance of restoring a broken relationship with our brothers and sisters, Jesus says that asking for God's forgiveness for one's own sins, all the while withholding forgiveness from someone else, it's not only bizarre, but you're a blatant hypocrite. You want something that you're not willing to give. And it just doesn't work that way. I mean, where would you be if Christ had looked at you and said, you know what, that's just not something I'm willing to give today. So if you refuse to forgive, then you have some things, bottom line, you got some things you need to work out with God first. A refusal to forgive hinders God's work in your life. It hinders the flow of God in your life because what's happening in you is not what happens through Christ. Here's the reason. Because one of the characteristics of God that we talked about, mercy, grace, forgiveness, love, is something that you're unwilling to portion for your own life, which means that you're not like God in what you're choosing for yourself. It's one more way that we don't look like Jesus. It's just one more way. So one of the ways that we forgive, as God forgives us, is just by being willing to do it, willing to offer it. And a second way that we're like God in how we forgive is how much we're willing to do it. You've seen this before. And this forgiveness does not depend on a request from the offender to be forgiven. Instead, it's forgiveness based on your relationship with God, not your relationship with the one that wronged you. It's with him. Let me give you an example. Probably one of the most powerful examples in all of Scripture of forgiveness. You go back into Genesis chapter 37. There's this guy named Joseph. Maybe you've heard the story. Joseph is sold into slavery. By the way, the effects of that move by his brothers, that lasted for about 22 years. The effects of the choice that they made impacted him for 22 years of his life. Now, some of us, you stop for a moment, some of us had something done to us and the effects of what had been done to us have lasted a long time. A long time. But then in his life, you fast forward, there's a famine. Joseph has gained a huge position of power. They, the brothers, they discover Joseph is who they have to go to get some help. Now imagine being them for a second. Oh my gosh. This is not going to go well. And Joseph, as you continue to read the narrative from Genesis 37 on, Joseph sees his brothers, and when they come up, he says this. He says, I want you to come near to me. Now, I don't know how you would feel about that moment, right? Somebody that you wronged, a relationship that, and not on, on a smaller level, this isn't a little bit of paint on the car. You sold them into slavery, and he says, come near to me. And they're in a position of power. You might be sitting there thinking, this guy's about to smack me around like Mo on the Three Stooges, right? Because he's got the ability to do it. Come on near to me. But he tells them as they draw in, he says, what it is that you meant for evil, God meant for good. Now, here's what he's not saying. God made you choose evil stuff so that God could then do really good stuff. It's you have chosen evil. And in spite of the evil that you have chosen, God has still worked his hand to bring good out of it. Not because of you, but in spite of you. God has done this. And here we are. Come near to me. Well, when you look at the rest of the story of Joseph and why this is such a powerful picture of forgiveness is because Joseph then looks at his brothers and he says, through all of this famine, I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to take care of you. Man, how do I know that I've forgiven somebody like that? I mean, how would I know? And that's something that I've given a lot of thought to this week. And I think that I can only tell you a little bit of the story today because there's still, even in my own mind, there's still some things I want to unpack about Joseph. But how can I know that I've forgiven somebody like the way that he has forgiven his brothers? And I think it's when you can speak of the offense that's happened against you as a point of the past rather than as a point of pain. When you can speak of the offense that has happened against you as a point of the past, it's not like you're sitting there going, well, we're just going to act like this didn't happen before. But its effect on you, the way you process it, something that happened, but you see it that way, but it's not a source of pain and bitterness anymore. So when we reference a past event, we simply state, it happened. It happened. And we know that we're reliving a situation if we speak about it. And it evokes all of these negative emotions and energy around the subject, which is exactly how Joseph didn't respond to his brothers. Come to me, and I'm going to take care of you. In other words, you know that you've moved past it when revenge and retaliation is a non-issue for you. You've moved past it. Doesn't mean you deny it was there, but you've moved on. But here's what I know that you're looking for. Because you're sitting there going, that's great, Jeremy. That's my part. But in any broken relationship, there's at least two of us that are involved here. What should I be looking for from the other side? You know, some pointers or something like that. Maybe what you're looking for is signs of actual repentance. You're looking for those signs from the person that they're making the turn and they're walking a different way. Even if it's in fits and starts, you see that they're walking a different way. And I want to give you some things to look at this morning for that. What are some signs of repentance when you're looking at a person? Here's one, is that you see that the person accepts full responsibility for their actions. You see it. You see it. Instead of them saying, well, since you think I've done something wrong, or if they say something like, well, if I've done anything to actually offend you, you're not seeing that. You're seeing them fully own the responsibilities for the choices that they've made. You know that they've made a turn. Here's a second. When you see a willingness in a person that's been the offender in your life, and you see that they welcome accountability both from you and from other people because of what they've done, that's a healthy sign that they've made the turn and that they're walking a different way. Another healthy sign, they don't continue in hurtful behavior. They don't continue to do the things that are associated with it. Gossip, slander, maligning, viciousness, vindictiveness, hatefulness. I'm just quoting Colossians 3 here, and it talks about you, your life with other people and other believers. This is how we're supposed to look. They don't continue in the hurtful behavior or anything that is associated with it. You know that they've made the turn. They don't have a defensive attitude about being in the wrong. They don't dismiss or downplay the hurt that they've caused. And they make restitution when it's necessary. When you see these characteristics literally flowing out of a person, you know that they've made the turn in their life. And the steps to healing and reconciliation can begin. And you know what you see? As a person continues down after the U-turn and they continue down the other way, trust is rebuilt. Trust is restored. Healing happens. And what was once broken, you see restoration, maybe even stronger than it was before the offense. Maybe even then, because that is the healing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you forgive others as he has forgiven you. Now, for some of you, here's what this means. Simultaneously, this moment, you are both in need of forgiveness because of things that you have done, things that you have said, to and about other people, you are in need of it, and you're also in need of giving it because somebody has wronged you. Welcome. I wish I could tell you this morning that it's easy, but it's not. And as I was reflecting over this and other passages this week, I started to take a hard look here. And are those things that I could look back, even into my life, wrongs that have been done against me, and I look at the moment and as soon as I think of it, you can start to feel that in you. You know what I'm talking about? You start to feel that, and you're clamping a little bit on the inside. And it didn't take me very long to think of at least three. And when I say very long, I mean less than a minute. Three things that what I could not say with any honesty or integrity is that it didn't still have some control over me, as was evidenced by the way I was reacting to it. How about you? The most important thing about our church is that we stand under the banner and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus. Everything is about him. Everything is about him. Everything is for him in this place. And it reminded me some years ago, I was over in Israel, I was down in the old city of Jerusalem, and I was having a conversation with a rabbi named Moshe. And Moshe and I in this conversation, he says, you know, he said, Jeremy, there are just some things that I just don't get about you Christians. Now, we got along so he could say that, all right? There are just some things I don't get about you Christians. I said, really, like what? And he says, I don't understand why it is that, you know, when it comes to God, you're always talking about Jesus. You're always talking about the cross. I was like, well, yeah, right? Because, well, we think it happened, right? And we also have a belief about why it happened. He says, but yeah, but why can't God just forgive me? Just because he loves me. And he knows that I've made some mistakes, but does anybody have to go dying on the cross because of that? He said, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I said, okay, let's talk about it. And the example that I gave him is the example that I want to give you this morning because I totally borrowed it. I'm not worried about being original. I just want to be accurate. And it comes from a guy named Peter Kraft. And some years ago, he wrote a book called Back to Virtue. And here's what he said. He said, mercy goes beyond justice. It does not undercut it. If I forgive you the $100 debt you owe me, that means I must use $100 of my own money to pay my creditors. I cannot really make you $100 richer without making myself $100 poorer. If the debt is real, it has to be paid. And if it is my mercy that repays your debt, I must pay it. And that's the reason why Christ had to die. Why God could not simply say, forget it. Instead, he said, forgive it. And he meant that if we did not pay it, it's because he had. But we're not talking $100. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about choices that we make that destroy relationships. This way and this way destroys them. And then when you look at the cross, he's not saying forget it. He's saying forgive it, and I've got the debt. That's grace. That's grace. And that is love. And when you look at yourself, or I had to look at myself this week, and in less than a minute, I can come up with three things that just the thought of it. You know what I knew? I'm not as much like Jesus as I would like to believe. Because I don't forgive others the way he's forgiven me. The beautiful story of the cross is in the paying of the debt. He releases you from an obligation. He releases it. What he's looking for, my friends, today is for you to accept what he's already offered. Just like I said before, I can forgive somebody that's wronged me, even though they never come to me. I can forgive you. I can release you from this relationship with me. The problem with sin is that we continue to walk away from him in the choices that we make. This morning, he's saying, no, I want you to come back. I want you to know that I love you and that my grace is sufficient. It's enough.
We hope you have enjoyed the podcast. For more information about our church, visit www.woodridge.org.